Well, ladies, welcome. Welcome to Women's Bible Study. Happy Tuesday night. This is week 3 of this session of Women's Bible Study. If I have not yet met you, my name is Jill. I'm one of the women's pastors here. It's great to be with you. I'm excited to continue our teaching through the book of Ruth tonight. Also, as always, want to extend a welcome to all those who are with us online or in satellite groups. And even though you're not here in this room, we're so glad that you are part of Women's Bible Study. A couple quick announcements for us this evening. Just a reminder that we have an optional offering here at Women's Bible Study. If you want to donate to that, there are offering envelopes on your tables. There's also a QR code if you prefer to donate online. And donations just go to help offset some of the costs of Bible Study, like tech and video and these beautiful books and childcare and things like that. Well, ladies, as we jump in tonight, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2. I've got a lot to cover, but before we jump in, would you just join me as we pray together? Father God, thank you so much for each woman who's present here, God. Thank you for all those who are present with us online and in satellite groups, Lord, or even women just finding this on YouTube or watching this around the globe, Lord. We just thank you for every person who is part of Women's Bible Study. And God, thank you for the book of Ruth. Thank you for your word, the Bible, God, and your truth that you've given to us, Lord. And so God, I just pray that as we dive into Ruth 2 tonight, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us. I pray your Holy Spirit would be so present in this place and that you would just guide us and lead us and encourage us and equip us, God, and just help us to be more and more of the women that you have designed and created us to be, Lord. So God, speak through me. And Lord, we just give you this time tonight and want you to be glorified. So we pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Well, ladies, we are in Ruth chapter 2. If this is your first time with us tonight, or if you have forgotten what we talked about for the last 2 weeks, which hopefully you haven't, just a quick refresher of where we've been up until this point. There's an Israelite woman whose name is Naomi. She has lost her husband, whose name was Elimelech. She's also lost both of her sons. One of her sons was married to a Moabite woman named Ruth. And so even though Naomi tells her daughter-in-laws, hey, go off, make your own life, go and try and find new husbands, Ruth decides not to do that. She decides to stay with Naomi. And not only does she decide to stay with Naomi, but she decides to make the God that Naomi follows her God. And she says, your God is going to be my God. So she decides to follow the God of the Bible. And so Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem, and that is where we pick up here in Ruth chapter 2. So the verses will be on the side screens, and we'll pause along the way to make some notes and take note of different things. So Ruth 2 begins. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man, and a couple different translations say a man of great wealth. So Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So let me pause here. So we can talk just for a minute about what this word glean means when Ruth says that she wants to go to a field and she wants to glean from the harvest. The Hebrew word for glean means to collect or to gather up or to pick up. So to collect, to gather up, or to pick up. And so the process of gleaning that's being referenced here in Ruth chapter 2, what Ruth is talking about, this is talking about gathering or collecting or picking up grain and other harvested material that has been left behind by the reapers. So the reapers come through, they harvest the grain, and then someone else comes through and picks up what is left over. But in this case, the leftovers aren't just left on accident. They are actually left on purpose as a way to provide for the poor. And the way we know this is because this is a part of the Mosaic Law. And so we read about it in Leviticus 19. And it says this, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So in this law, God was looking out for the poor. He was looking out for those in need. So even if a landowner wanted to, they were not, according to God's law, they were not supposed to harvest all of their field without leaving something behind for those less fortunate. This meant they couldn't keep their entire harvest to themselves, but the law required them to be generous and to be kind to the poor. And this in turn meant that the poor, like Ruth, had a way to actively work to gain food. And that's what we see that Ruth is about to do. She's going to go work for her food. She's going to go glean from someone else's field to get food for herself as well as to get food for her mother-in-law, Naomi. So let me continue in Ruth 2. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Let me pause again. Even though we're told here that Ruth happened to come to Boaz's field, we know and we see that she didn't just happen to come to Boaz's field. This is God at work in his sovereignty and in her story. God specifically brings her to Boaz's field. God is at work for her good, whether she knows it or not. God is always working. We sang about it in that song earlier, that God is always working. Whether you can see it, whether you can feel it, whether you can sense it, God is always working. And according to his word, God promises that he will always work things together for the good of those who love him. He will always work all things together for good for those who love him. And so where do you need to be reminded of that truth in your own story today? That the Father is always working, and that God will always work all things together for good for those who love him. Ruth 2 continues, and it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you?" And another quick note here, when a field was harvested, what would happen is that the men would enter the field first. They would go, they'd cut the grain, and then they would drop handfuls of it behind them on the ground. And then women workers would come from behind. They would pick up those handfuls of grain and tie them together. So Boaz is basically saying to Ruth, "Hey, these women are my workers. These young women are working for me. So stick by them, stay close to them, and you will be safe with them." And then we continue in Ruth. He says, "When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And we're going to come back to that. "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.' Then she said, 'I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants.' And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her.'" So another quick note about what's going on here. Boaz is doing what God's law requires of him, the law that we read earlier from Leviticus. He's doing what God's law requires of him by allowing this poor woman named Ruth to glean from his harvest field. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes even farther than what the law requires him to do. He goes a step further and does more for Ruth than what is required of him. He says to his workers, don't just let her glean from the leftovers, but let her glean from among the sheaves, which basically means let Ruth take some grain from what you, the workers, have already gathered. And then he goes even another step further and he says, don't just stop there, but take some grain out of what you've already bundled and leave that for her to glean. Boaz is blessing Ruth with abundant generosity. And then we continue starting in verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley would have been about 5.5 gallons, which would be at least a 2-week supply for Ruth and for Naomi. So she beat out what she'd gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley, and she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So one of the key themes that I think we see here in Ruth chapter 2, and it's really the theme I want us to focus our time on together today, is the theme of kindness. Kindness is shown all throughout this chapter of Ruth. We see God's kindness towards Ruth in bringing her to Boaz's field. We see God's kindness toward Boaz in just giving him a field and giving him wealth and property. We see Ruth's kindness towards Naomi in saying, Naomi, I'm going to stay with you, but I'm not only going to stay with you. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to work and I'm going to glean from this harvest so that I can help to feed you and myself. And then we see Boaz's kindness toward Ruth in so many ways, in the way he takes care of her, in the way he watches out for her, in the ways that he tells his young male workers not to lay a hand on her, and in the way he not only allows her to glean from the leftovers of his harvest, but he gives her even more grain to glean from. There is so much kindness shown and received in this story. And so what I want us to do with our time remaining is to just pull out 3 things that I think we can learn from Ruth chapter 2 about kindness. And specifically, 3 things that we can learn about what it means to be people who are kind. We have been shown such great kindness from God. And now we get to go and show that kindness to others. So the first thing we can learn about people who are kind is this. People who are kind take notice of others. People who are kind take notice of others. They pay attention to others. And more specifically, they pay attention to the needs of others. When Boaz arrived in his field, he saw his workers and greeted them. And then he saw Ruth. He noticed her. He asked, "Who is this woman?" He wanted to know who she was. He wanted to know her story. Ruth recognizes that Boaz is paying attention to her, and she responds to that attention with humility. In verse 10, we read this. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Ruth's question here reminds me, her question to Boaz reminds me of what the psalmist asks God in Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" The God who created the world is mindful of you and I. He notices us and he cares for us. He cares about your needs. He cares about your life, the good parts, the challenging parts, the difficult parts. God is so rich in his kindness towards us. Every good gift that we have, every blessing that we have is only because of the kindness and the goodness of our great God. A beautiful sunset, a hot cup of coffee in the morning, a hot cup of tea for those of you who don't drink coffee, The fact that you and I are alive right now in this moment, that we have breath in our lungs, that we get to worship God and be here at Women's Bible Study. A good friend, money, no matter how much it is, money in our bank account. All of these are good, good gifts from God that come from his goodness and his kindness towards us. So when Boaz takes notice of Ruth and he extends kindness towards her, he is reflecting the kindness of God. And similarly, when we extend kindness to others, we get to reflect the kindness of God. One of the things that people do who are kind is that they take notice of other people. They notice other people's needs and they pay attention to what other people need. So I wonder, whose needs are you and I most noticing these days? Whose needs are we most paying attention to? When you walk into a room, who are the people that you tend to notice? If we're honest, you and I can spend a lot of time noticing one person, and it's the person we see in a mirror every day. We can spend a lot of time noticing me. Life can be all about a me, me, me mentality. It's about my needs, my fears, my wants, what's going on with me. And it can be so easily consumed by just noticing me. But life isn't just about me, and it's not just about you. Maybe you are here and you are in a really good season of your life. You are in a season of plenty and abundance. And maybe, if that's where you're at, there are some Ruths in your life that need you to see them and notice them and extend kindness to them. Or maybe you're here and you're in a challenging season or a difficult season, or if you're honest, you're like, I barely got here tonight. I am in one of the toughest seasons of my life. And like Ruth, who was also in one of the toughest seasons of her life, she'd lost her husband, she'd gave up everything to be with her mother-in-law, Naomi, didn't know if she'd ever be married again. Maybe there are some Naomis in your life that you need to see and notice and extend kindness to, just like Ruth does to Naomi. So ask God to give you eyes to notice people. Ask him to give you eyes to notice what others need as a way of being able to extend kindness to them. So people who are kind take notice of others. And then secondly, people who are kind speak words of kindness. People who are kind speak words that are kind. In verse 13, Ruth said that Boaz comforted her and that he spoke kindly to her. And based on what we read that Boaz spoke to Ruth, it is most likely that his words made Ruth feel safe and protected, that his words made her feel seen and cared for, that his words made her feel like she wasn't alone, that she was being provided for. The words he spoke would have encouraged her. They would have been good for her soul. They would have built her up because Boaz used his words for kindness towards Ruth. How are you and I using our words for kindness these days? We say a lot of words, ladies. Some of us more than others. Don't point at those people, but you know who you are. We speak a lot of words out loud. We think a lot of words in our heads. And we write a lot of words all the time, whether it's via text, email, a social media post, a comment in response to someone else's social media post. Our words have so much power. And according to God's word in Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words carry the power of life and death. That is a huge responsibility to bear. All of us have probably had someone speak something unkind to us or something mean to us. Maybe it was something harsh. Maybe it was something mean that someone said. Maybe it was just something they said out of their anger. But all of us know the way that it feels when a mean word is spoken and just how much it stings and can even stick with us. And then all of us probably also know the joy that comes with the kind words that have been spoken to us, the kind words by loved ones or by an acquaintance or by a stranger, whoever it is. But that beauty and that joy that comes when a kind word is spoken to you and how that word builds you up and strengthens you. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." No one who knows me would say that I'm the healthiest eater they've ever met, But one of the decisions, well, small decisions, I try to sometimes make is that instead of buying the flavored sugary yogurts, I buy the plain Greek yogurt. And I don't mind it. It's good. It's really not that bad. You get used to it. But when you add just a little bit of honey, it is so much better. It's sweeter. There's no way around it. Plain yogurt is good until you've had it with honey. It is sweeter with honey mixed in. Kind words are like honey. Mother Teresa said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Like, none, what about some, what about a little bit? God's word tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. How are we doing, ladies, with not letting any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only allowing to come out of our mouths words that are going to encourage and build others up? I want to encourage us to pray and ask God to help you use your words for kindness and for building others up. Ask him to convict you. I need to do the same, to convict us of any ways that we have used our words to not build people up, to tear people down, to be mean, to destroy people. Any ways that we have said unwholesome things. Repent and ask God to forgive you for those things. Pay attention. Take notice of the words that you speak. Pay attention to your emotions and what's going on within you when you find yourself speaking unkind words. For me, when I speak something mean or something harsh, there is usually something deeper going on in me, anger, frustration, some of my own issues, whatever it is. Pray and ask God to help you use your words for kindness. And I also want to encourage us to be intentional with actually speaking words of kindness to other people. Because so often what we do is we walk around and we have all these great thoughts about people and we think all these kind things about people. We just don't have the step of actually saying it to that person. And so I want to encourage you, don't let those opportunities pass you by. When you think something kind about someone, say it, call them, text them, email them, speak aloud your words of kindness to others as a way of blessing them and a way of building them up. Your kind words and my kind words will be like honey for other people, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So people who are kind speak words that are kind. And then third and finally, people who are kind provide generously for others' needs. People who are kind provide generously for others' needs. Our words matter, like we just talked about, speaking words of kindness. What we say matters, and our words hold the power of life and death. But another thing that matters is our actions, what we do, how we give our lives away. Boaz spoke kindly to Ruth, but he also acted kindly toward her by providing for her needs. We can't provide for everyone's needs, but the truth is, you and I can provide for some people's needs. Only God can provide for everyone's needs, and only God can provide for our deepest needs. But there are some needs, even represented in this room, that you and I have been given resources and time and gifts, and we can actually meet those needs. And God wants us to meet the needs of some people. God, in his great kindness, has blessed each of us with time, talents, resources, money, gifts, abilities, and more. And he wants to use those things to bless others. Just like God gave Boaz a harvest field that Boaz then used to bless Ruth and provide for her need, what has God given you that you can use to bless and provide for other people's needs? If you live in Los Angeles like me, you probably don't own a field. You might own a property this big. But what is your field that God's given you? What would those around you say today, right now, that they are currently gleaning from your life and from you? Just like Boaz asked his workers to intentionally drop grain for Ruth to glean, what are you or could you intentionally and purposefully allow others to glean from your life? It's probably not grain, but what can you intentionally drop so that others can pick it up and gather to provide for their needs? When my family and I moved into a new house a year and a half ago, We didn't have a gardener, and we also didn't have a lawnmower yet, and the grass in our front yard was getting a wee bit out of control. One day I came home, and to my surprise, our lawn was mowed. And to this day, I still do not know who mowed our lawn. It wasn't my husband because we didn't have a lawnmower, but someone mowed our lawn, either because they were kind or was a neighbor who was tired of looking at it. I'm going to vote they were kind. Someone mowed our lawn, and they provided for a need that we had. When I brought my boys home from the hospital almost 8 years ago now, and I was a brand new mom with no clue what I was doing, lots of friends delivered meals to me so that we didn't have to worry about cooking dinner. Friends set up a meal train for me so that food constantly came our way. They provided for a need of ours. When I was single about 16 years ago, and I was grieving the loss of a dating relationship of a guy I totally thought I was going to marry, and I was longing for marriage and family, I had a friend who saw my pain. And this friend saw my need, and I will never forget sitting with this friend and the way he extended such a generous offer to me. He said, "Jill, I don't know what your future holds. I don't know if family's in your future. I don't know if marriage and kids are in your future. But for right now, in this present moment, why don't you come and be part of my family with my wife and my kids? Come and be part of our family. Come be with us. Come babysit my kids so that you can hang out with them and get to know them. Come to our sports games. Come to our birthday parties and our family dinners. Come be part of our family." He and his wife invited me into their family because they saw a need that I had. And I became an aunt to their kids. And I got invited to celebrate family birthdays, and they invited me over to celebrate my birthday. They noticed me, and they saw my need, and they provided for my need with generosity and with kindness. Ladies, how can you provide for someone else's need today, this week, this month? Deliver a meal, send a check, email a DoorDash gift card, invite someone to your house for dinner, send a handwritten card with kind words in it, call a friend that you haven't talked to in a while, invite a neighbor to church, share the gospel with someone, wash your neighbor's car or mow their lawn, give to the Kingdom Offering at CA as a way of meeting the needs that you might not even be aware of in the city and the world around us. Sign up to sponsor a kid with Compassion International. For $43 a month, you can sponsor a kid and provide tangibly for some of his or her needs and for his or her family's needs. What has God, in his great kindness, given to you? What's your field? And how can you, in your kindness, give some of that away for others to glean from? How can you help provide for others' needs? Here's the thing about providing for people's needs. It's probably going to cost you something. Time, money, energy, resources. Boaz had less grain for himself because he gave some to Naomi. It cost him, to Ruth. It cost him something. He had less time for himself because he took time to notice Ruth and to talk with her. Pastor and author David Platt says this. He says, "Love pays a price, takes risks, makes sacrifices, goes out of the way to show extravagant kindness to one another." Not just kindness, but to show extravagant kindness to another. What would it look like for you and I to be people who show extravagant kindness to one another? Because that's what we see in Ruth chapter 2. We see that Boaz shows extravagant kindness to Ruth. And we see all over the pages of Scripture that God has shown extravagant kindness towards us. So people who are kind take notice of others. They speak words of kindness, and they generously provide for the needs of others. And ladies, we can show kindness to others only because we have first been shown kindness by our good, good God. And so as we close, I want to give us a few ways to respond. And so I want to invite you, you can put your notes down, you can close your eyes. This is really just a time between you and the Lord. But I want to just give us a way to respond and really to invite God to speak and say, God, in the midst of this, in the midst of this discussion about kindness, what are you inviting me to? And so I would just encourage and ask you, take a posture that's comfortable, close your eyes. This is not about the person next to you. This is about you and what God's inviting you to. And so God, even now, We just stop and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be so present with us and that you would speak to us and that you would guide us, Lord, that you would guide each woman in this room, each woman online or in a satellite group, that you would guide me, Lord. And God, when it comes to kindness, would you show us whatever it is that you are inviting us to, Lord? And so a couple things to think and just sit with the Lord on. First, you know, we talked about those three things that kind people do, that they notice others, that they speak words of kindness, and that they generously provide for the needs of others. And just maybe sit and say, God, how am I doing with those? Where might you want to grow me? Where are the areas where you might want to say, well done, keep doing this? But just sit with the Lord and say, God, when it comes to noticing others, when it comes to speaking words of kindness, when it comes to generously providing for the needs of others, what do you want to say to me, God? And then I encourage us to just sit and say, God, are there any ways that I have not been speaking words of kindness and that unwholesome talk has been coming out of my mouth? Because it's so easy to just let unwholesome talk, unkind words, just kind of slide and say, ah, it's no big deal. This is how everyone talks. And so just sit and say, God, is there any way that I've been letting an unwholesome talk come out of my mouth? And whatever, if anything comes up for you, just repent and ask God to forgive you. And then finally, just sit with the Lord and on this idea of gleaning and how Boaz allowed graciously and generously this poor woman to glean from his field and to take even more than the law required him to let her take. Just sit with the Lord and say, God, how might you want me to intentionally let others glean from my life, from my money, from my home, from my relationships, from my resources? Just God, how do you want me to invite others to glean from all that you've given me? And then before we close, I just want to remind us of the absolute greatest and most extravagant gift of kindness that the world has ever seen. And for those of you who have never said yes to Jesus, you might be hearing this for the first time, but I want to give anyone here who's ready to say yes to Jesus and yes to God meeting your deepest needs to be able to do that and to make Jesus the Lord of your life. The absolute and most extravagant gift of kindness that the world has ever seen, we could never do what God has done. But that most extravagant gift of kindness was shown when God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for our sins. God created this world. He created you and I. He loves us. He made you on purpose and for a purpose, but we've all sinned. Humanity has sinned. None of us are perfect, nor could we ever be apart from Christ. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. None of us live up to God's good standards. And the penalty for our sin is death. The wages for sin is death. But God, in his great and rich mercy and grace and love and kindness towards us, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to take our sin upon himself, to pay the penalty for our sin that we owe so that we don't have to. And Jesus took our sin. He died on the cross. He rose 3 days later all who place their faith and trust in Jesus will be made right with God, forgiven for their sins, and will receive the gift of eternal life that is only found in Christ Jesus. If you're here and you've said yes to Jesus, just thank God for his act of kindness. Let that act of kindness never become weary of hearing about that act of kindness. Never grow weary of remembering how kind God is in what he's done for us through Jesus. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, but you're ready to, and you've been walking around trying to fill your needs with all sorts of things, and you're at the point of realizing, I don't have all the answers, I don't have this Christianity thing figured out, but I know I need something different, and I know I need a savior, and I can't save myself, and I wanna be in a right relationship with God. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you can just pray where you're at, you can pray aloud, you can scream it, you can whisper it, you can pray silently, but you can just pray, and you can say, God, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a savior. God, forgive me for my sins, for my mistakes, for the ways that I have rebelled against you and not lived up to your glorious standards. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and that he rose 3 days later, and I am placing my faith in Jesus as my Savior and as the Lord of my life. And God, I am committing to follow you all the days of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, we welcome you into the family of God. Your deepest need, whether you know it or not, has been met if you prayed that prayer, because you're now in Christ. And God promises to meet our needs. But our deepest need is to be in a right and personal relationship with God. So if you did make that decision, would you tell me, would you tell Coley or Tanya or your Bible study table leader? We would love to get you a Bible and celebrate with you and follow up with you. Let me just pray one last time for us. God, thank you so much for your rich kindness towards us. God, your kindness that we could never even attempt to repay, nor that you need us to repay, God. But Lord, thank you for your kindness towards us. And God, make us women who show your kindness towards everyone we meet, and help us to do that in simple ways. Help us to do it in extravagant ways. Help us to go above and beyond to show your kindness to a world that is so in need of you, Jesus. And then lastly, ladies, if you want to grow in kindness, I just want to encourage you. God's word says that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so according to Galatians, there are multiple fruits of the Spirit. And that means that these are things that the Holy Spirit produces in us as we follow Christ. And Galatians tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you're here and you're like, I really want to grow in kindness, I don't know how to do this, pray. And I want to invite you right now to just pray and say, God, would you grow the fruit of kindness in me through your Holy Spirit? Would you bear the fruit of kindness in me? Help me to do my part and whatever you're asking me to do, Lord. But God, would your Holy Spirit bear the fruit of kindness in my life? God, make us kind and help our kindness to point the world to you. We love you, God. We pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen.